you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, May 12th, 2017. A few days away from Mother's Day. So remember, guys, men, women, I guess everyone that has a mother or a mother figure in their lives, maybe flowers or candy or a nice card, a call, a word of encouragement. Mm. Do something kind because we couldn't do without our mothers. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. And those of you that have a role as mothers, you know, that's a very significant calling. There's many teachers that have that role with their students or neighbors or grandparents. Yeah. It's a high calling. And there's even some scripture that references kind of the, I don't want to say the female role of God, just the feminine role that he plays, you know, that mothering, that tender, that caring, even though he's sovereign and powerful and, you know, referred to mainly in the male because of the dominance. I don't know. I don't want to dig myself out of this one, but, you know.
How about this? The Proverbs say, Proverbs 1 through 10 continually say, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." It keeps talking about the teaching of the father, the instruction of the father, and the teaching and instruction and guidance of the mother. And so God is offering the two roles there, but also two characters in terms of how you're formed into who you're going to become. And so I think you're right. Mothers are so important. Yeah. You know, and not just those who are biologically mothers, but those who have been called to a role where they mother and shepherd in that way, where they sacrifice themselves. I know people who have given their lives to kids who are not their own, and they shepherd and they sacrifice for them, they mother them, they raise them up, they teach them and walk alongside them. And so I think that Mother's Day is probably, at least in my opinion, much broader than how in our secular mind we want to celebrate it. You know, there are so many, just the same as I know that I serve in a great role as a father in my home, but in a lesser role, I try to be a father in the neighborhood, you know, offering instruction in that. Because, you know, the worst thing you could do is kind of turn your head. And I love, my wife does this. She mothers our neighbors, our neighborhood. You know, when kids come around and they act kind of crazy, my wife will be more than happy to stop them and gently correct them and show them the right way and try to teach them. And that's mothering.
And the spiritual mothers, too, pouring scripture and modeling and disciple-making.
Right, and my wife would not be that way if it was not for the spiritual mothers in her life, like you say, who come and offer her the milk from the Word and show her how she can live differently. And so, again, I think motherhood is so much broader than how the secular kind of this Sunday is. It's Mother's Day. You know, we're going to celebrate it. And by the way, I have a love-hate relationship with all those things because I think, gosh, why aren't we celebrating mothers every day? Yeah. I mean, for if you're a mom right now and you're listening and you're getting one day and I'm trying to volley for you to get 365, you're probably cheering right now because mothers, it's a hard, difficult job. Yeah. Whether it's the neighborhood or it's in your home, it's not an easy job to do. And not only that, but the burden that I think that mothers carry that comes from God's heart, which is a burden to see his people formed well and to be loved and cared for. And so,
yeah, and even the ache for those mothers that have to work and can't be with the children that they would desire to be a primary calling or what they'd focus on. And then the women that desire to be mothers and for various reasons can't be. And so let us encourage you also, you can have a profound impact and role in children's lives and the lives of the community, those around you, singles and married couples. So keep on keeping on, and we celebrate all of you this Sunday for Mother's Day.
Yeah, and that said, I mean, that really segues us into where we left off Wednesday in Psalm 18, you know, where we talked about how the cleanliness of David's hands and who he was because of who God is. But then it says in verse 25 of Psalm 18, it says, "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. With the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down." And so it's really interesting because when you read those things, you might almost, again, how we said it in the earlier verses 20 through 23, you might think that this sounds kind of arrogant or this sounds wrong. I mean, wait a second. You mean With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. So God only shows himself merciful to the merciful. God only shows himself this way to these people. But I think really what David is saying here and what God is saying, really Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2. He says, "For with what judgment you judge, you too will be judged. For the measure which you use will be measured back to you." And Jesus also said in John chapter 15, very interesting, Jesus says in 15 and verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you will bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, as you're following God, as you're loving God, and as you're living out who God is in your life, you're reflecting, I heard you say many, many times, you're the ambassador for Christ, then you will show yourself to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's what David is saying here. David's saying, if you love God, what does your life look like? Do you look merciful? Do you look blameless? Or at least do you try to be that the best that you can? And where you're not, are you quick to, you know, I know a guy who said to me one time, he said, you know what, he said, "I'm wrong an awful lot, but it's not always about how wrong I am. It's how open I am to asking for forgiveness mm-hmm. in my wrongness." And with the purified, you show yourself pure. So what David is saying is when I'm merciful, people understand that God is merciful because I'm talking about God all the time. See, if you're talking about God all the time, if you're like, "Well, don't you know God's love and God is this and God is that," but you're stingy and you're unloving and you're unforgiving. I've said this many times. If you're a Christian and you're not forgiving and you're not loving and you're stingy and you're all these things, and then you talk about God, people are going to go, "Well, where'd you learn how to be the way you are from that God of yours?" Yeah. And so here David is saying, when I'm merciful, I show God to be merciful. When I'm blameless, or when I at least try to be, I'm showing how God is working to bring me towards being blameless. When I'm trying to look at my purity. Now what's interesting, isn't it, is that if you look at these verses here, we could go and find places in David's life where he didn't do these things. David definitely, with Bathsheba, was not pure. He was not pure. And again, in those moments of David's failure, in those moments of our failure, that's where the strength of God really shows through, because we have a choice in that moment to either say, "Lord, I repent, forgive me," or to say, "You know what, Lord, I can do whatever I want." And that's what sin is. You know, I learned a long time ago when I began to help my wife lead cubbies, sin is anything you think, say, or do that disobeys God. So sin is anything that I want to think, anything I want to say, and anything I want to do when I don't care about anybody else, including God. And so David says here, "I actually care."
Now you might want to clarify, what are cubbies?
Oh, cubbies, that's the youngest of the Iwanas. I think the Puggles is one shot lower, but cubbies is preschool. So those of you who need to figure, like, "Well, how would I pray for Jason?" Pray, because I lead the cubbies. So I lead, like, pre-kindergartners. And try and show them who the Lord is. I pray that Psalm 119:11 all the time. "Lord, somehow tonight we might hide the word in their heart that they might not sin against you." And so I learned a long time ago in cubbies that cubbies taught me that. It was so crucial, because it was such an easy way to say to people, when people say, "What is sin?" Well, sin is anything you think, say, or do that disobeys God. And so any way that you think, your own thoughts, and don't consider anyone else, any way where you say things and you're like, "I don't care about that, I don't care," or any time you do something that is selfish and it's just about you and doesn't consider anyone else, the Bible tells us in Philippians to consider others above ourselves. And when we consider others above ourselves, we begin to see people the way God sees them. And so David here, I think in 25 and 26, is saying, when people look at you, do they see God?
Yeah, and I think, like you said, if you're stingy, or are you always complaining? Are you whining? Are you moaning? I mean, where's the love of Christ? I deal with a lot of secular atheists on the racquetball court and other things, and I know we model Christ to them. We're supposed to be that fragrance of Christ. So if they see us always complaining about the politics or about the state of the world or always discouraged or moaning, is that a God that they would want to follow if you're representing him?
Well, here, how about this? So, you know, we don't have to even do any kind of homework really anymore to say that the world is in a bad place. I mean, I don't have to even search far to go, oh, things are kind of really messed up right now. I mean, it seems like over here we might go to war, over here immorality, over here we can't figure out gender or sexuality, we're so confused. I mean, I don't have to look hard to realize things are messed up. But if you or I as a Christian, Mark, just walk around and go, oh, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, you're like Chicken Little, then what are we saying about God?
Right.
I'm sorry, but as Christians, we should be the most hopeful people in the world because our hope is not here. Our hope is somewhere else. And when I complain about how bad everything is everywhere, all I'm saying is that I seem to take a whole lot more stock in here and this thing than I do anywhere else. I heard it said once, and I love the way this person said it. They said, for the Christian, this place here is as close to hell as you'll ever be, and heaven awaits. And for those who don't know who God is, this is as close to heaven as it'll ever be, and hell awaits. Mm. And so for us as Christians, we should know this is the closest that we'll ever get to immorality, to evil, to all those things. And it seems pretty heinous. It seems pretty wicked. But we know our hope is somewhere else. We have an eternal address, and that's where we've put all of our stock. That's why Jesus says, look, don't let your bank account be here where moth and rust decay, where it creeps in. But instead, make deposits in your heavenly bank account, in your bank account called hope. And so we need to be hopeful because we serve a God who says he's the God of all hope. And so if his hope isn't big enough, if you don't believe that he can deliver us, then number one, I would just say you haven't read the Bible. And number two, I would say that your hope is way too small because your God is way bigger than that.
I like how Janet Parshall often puts it, because she talks about all the happenings in the marketplace, everything that's going on. And she usually at some point will say, these are exciting times.
It is.
Because you can share the gospel and you can bring hope and light and a redemptive message and a hope-filled message, because Jesus Christ has overcome the world and we can overcome it through him. It doesn't mean things will be easy or we can coast or tragedy won't strike, but we do place our hope in him and we have the eternal perspective.
You know, when you read a lot of what's going on today, You don't have to ask the question like, well, I wonder where the mission field is. I mean, you know where it is. You don't have to. You know, I actually kind of praise God that right now people are bold. They're bold enough to say actually what they think. They're bold enough to say, they're bold enough to actually show us the condition of their heart. Because I think for a lot of years, because there was so much, how do I want to say this? So much currency in being Christian that people would hide out and pretend to be Christian. And the reason that the numbers have kind of fallen these days is because people don't feel like they have to hide out anymore. We've reached a place where people can deny God and they're not going to be judged adversely for it. And some of us would say, oh, I can't believe this is happening. No. Praise God. People are telling us the condition of their heart. So now I don't have to go like, I wonder what that guy's feeling or thinking. He actually is bold enough now because of where we're at to tell me. And so you know what? Praise God. I know where to put you. I know, okay, you know what? You're resistant to the gospel over here. So I'm going to start praying that God would bend your heart, that he would reveal himself to you powerfully, and that you would come to begin to ask questions. I now know where to put you in terms of how I need to minister to you. Thank God. God actually has made, in my opinion, the mission field clearer. He hasn't made it more muddy. It's not more mucky. I know wicked people now, they don't even hide out and pretend to be righteous. They just show themselves wicked. So it's like black and white. You don't have to worry. It's not like you have to go, well, I wonder if that's a bad thing or a good thing. No, they'll show you quite clearly if it's a bad thing, and they'll actually glory in it. And by the way, one of the greatest things in all of it is that it proves yet again the Bible's true. Because when I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, and I distinctly remember we went to a congregational church, White Steeple Church in Huntley, Illinois, and sitting in the pew, and they had pews back then, and, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to call it the longest seat ever, and you never knew who you were going to sit next to, but we go, and I remember Reverend Ronald Woodruff, we call him Rev Ron was reading Romans 1, and I remember sitting there thinking, oh, this is like a movie or something. Like, this can't even be real. Like this sounds so crazy. Like, you know, they love creatures and not the creator, and they love men with men. Just all the things that. And if I said that and you're offended, you need to go read Romans 1, because I'm not telling you anything Romans 1 doesn't say. No. And so all the things in Romans 1, I was like, this has got to be like, this is like a science fiction novel. And now today, I read Romans 1 and I go, you know what? This actually looks like the cover of the newspaper on any given day. This looks exactly like everything that we are dealing with. And so you know what? Praise God, because that tells me the Bible's true. In fact, a long time ago, before I even knew it, the Bible was going to prove itself true by showing a wicked people who would insert themselves into the biblical story that they would be the biblical story, because God is telling us it's a story about us. The Bible is a story about us. I read Jude, and I go, you know, secretly they've crept in. They're wicked men who changed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into a license for immorality. There was a day when I didn't really have a name for those people. Now I have names. I can say, well, it's this guy, and it's this guy, this guy. And so that's the way that God proves himself to be true. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not one who loses hope and goes, oh, no, the sky is falling. Instead, I say, God is good. And he is going to prove himself victorious, because if Romans 1 is true, if Jude 1, by the way, there's only one chapter, but if Jude 1 is true, then guess what? Revelation is true also.
Yeah, yeah.
And so God will prove himself victorious. He's told us that.
And we have the opportunity to bring that good news message into this hurting world.
We do. I mean, and that's what 24 or 25 and 26 is telling us. It's telling us, are you going to be the kind of people who reflect God? Because 27 says, for you save a humble people. So what is that? What does a humble people mean? A humble people means that I constantly am doing this. Have you seen God? Have you seen my dad? Have you seen my father? Have you seen how good he is? Have you seen how amazing he is? But you can't talk about how amazing he is if he hasn't had the kind of impact on your life that actually makes you change.
Or you're so busy talking about yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Our tendency is
exactly. Well, I would agree. Look
what I've done instead.
Oh, I would agree with you totally.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Look at everything you have. God has given you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everything is His. I talked about this. We do a midweek message at our church that I put out through our mass email, and I put it out on social media. And it's usually a minute and a half to 3 minutes. And last week I talked about generosity, and that was one of the things I said. As I said, I came into the room recently where my kids were playing, and I heard one of my kids say, "I had it first. It's mine." And immediately kind of this social justice in me wanted to rise up and go, who had it first and who had it? Because that's the one who gets it. And then it made me think biblically. Biblically, everything belongs to God. It came from God. So when I go, but it's mine. Well, it's not mine. Who had it first? God had it first. And then he entrusted it to me to shepherd and steward and share. And that's what God has done with himself. He's given us his spirit, that by the power of his spirit, we would shepherd, steward, and share. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, that's what David's saying. But David's saying the key is the humble people. Because a humble people will always give credit to God. Mm-hmm. A humble people will always say, the Lord did that, not me. You know, I've run across people who come out and serve at the church and they're raking, and you'll come out and you'll say, gosh, the lawn looks great. And they'll say, oh, by the Lord's strength. Mm. When you accredit raking the lawn to the strength of the Lord, I think you're in a good place.
Yeah.
I think you're in a place where you're like, you know what, all glory goes to him. I shouldn't even be here. You know, at Bible Study Fellowship on Monday night, the guy who leads it, he made a really great statement, which I told him. I said, I don't know how much money I'm going to owe you at the end of a year, because I'm going to steal it. Totally. And he said, look, man, I'm just going to tell you this. When you wake up in the morning, you're not owed going to bed that night. And when you go to bed at night, you're not owed waking up in the morning. So make the most of every single day. And that really had a profound impact on me. I thought, you know what? He's right. I'm not owed anything. So my life is short and limited. And what am I going to do with that? Am I going to waste it? Or am I going to use it for the glory of God? Mm. And the greatest way I'm going to use it is I'm going to be humble. You know, and that really, we only have a few minutes left, but that really gets to the cross, something that's been bothering me lately. And that is that in this world, kind of in our secular world, we gauge everything on scale, scope, and size. If it's big, if it's powerful, if it's all this, it must be wonderful. It must be great. And we should celebrate those things. The world celebrates everything that's big. But the problem is that when I read the Bible, God consistently uses humble, meek, ordinary things to do amazing things. He uses Hebrew midwives. He uses an unknown woman named Jochebed, who is Moses' mother. He uses an ordinary woman named Mary and Joseph from a town that nobody wanted to talk about. He uses people that nobody knew anything about or that were bad, and redeems them and uses them for amazing things. And so I think that we've got to get out of this idea as Christians that everything has to be big, awesome, and spectacular. Because you know what? God loves to use the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He loves the ordinary things. He says, you know what? You're not shiny. That's fine. Let me put a shine on you. You're not strong. That's okay. Let me strengthen you. You know, he says to Moses, you got a little stutter? You can't? That's fine. I'll give you a strong voice.
Yeah, and we can all call on him. What's that passage where wisdom is given from the Lord? Is that James? But if we call on him and ask him for these things, he'll give them to us. But always giving him the credit or him the glory.
Well, and it says in that passage, he is faithful to give it to you.
Yeah.
And so he is faithful. So the minute that I read in the Bible that God is faithful, I have to ask the question, now will I be faithful?
Hmm.
And this passage here where we talked about today, David in 27 is saying, now will you be humble? Will you be humble? Will you let God get all the glory? Will you let God be the one who is magnified and reflected for you? Will you be an ambassador who comes in the name of the Lord and everybody who meets you will say, I think I've just spent time with the Lord?
Hey, this next verse, and we're going to close out with a special song, but it's you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Mm. I'm going to close out with that song, keep them lamps trimmed and burning. That's a great song, but as we go about our ways today, reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing hope into a hurting world, modeling kingdom values, being ambassadors for Almighty God, may you be empowered today through the Holy Spirit to be effective, to have that fragrance of Christ, and to share that good news message of Jesus to all around. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, weekend. See you in church, and keep those lamps trimmed and burning.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed.